We are happy tonight that we can gather again to worship our great God, to sing praises to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll turn to hymn number 164. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. 164. Together on this Lord's Day evening, we pray that our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born King, and He died as our Savior, and He now reigns on high, and we pray that You might help us to love Him, adore Him, surrender to Him, and may we be all to Him tonight that He deserves us to be. So direct our hearts heavenward, we ask, by Your Holy Spirit. And this we pray, thanking You in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme this morning from 2 Corinthians 8 was about giving, and how we can have purpose in life, usefulness, as we give ourselves first to the Lord and then to others. And in order to do that, we need to be completely, totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these next two hymns are about that. And the first is 492. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. A different hymn, a different tune than is in our book, but a familiar tune, familiar hymn of consecration. Take my life. 492. Substance to Jesus, money and time and service, only when we have given him ourselves, our hearts, our love, and all that we are. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. And 538 speaks then of serving Jesus Christ. 538, the motive being his love for us. We love him because he first loved us, and we give to him because he gave to us. 538.
Thank you.
God's word is a little bit out of chronology, you might say, from what we've been reading these last few weeks in terms of the birth of Jesus, his incarnation. Here's the end of his ministry just after resurrection and before the final 40 days of appearances. But we're turning to this passage because I think it epitomizes what we were speaking of this morning about our hearts yielded to Jesus and giving ourselves to him, and by such consecration being useful in this world. Well, it all gets down to our hearts, doesn't it? Do we really love Jesus? And do we love him more than anything and anyone? So here's John 21, beginning at verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. Hear God's word. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Notice that Peter was grieved. After the third time, Jesus asked him about his love. And I wonder if we too would be so grieved if Jesus had to ask us three times if we love him. And yet it was three times that Peter had denied him. Here was Peter's opportunity to come back into fellowship with Jesus. And here was Jesus being very gracious to Peter, as he is to all of us. We have lapses in our faith. We have lapses in our love. But Jesus always calls us back. And he says to us what he said to Peter there at the end of verse 19. "Follow me." And aren't you glad tonight that no matter how many lapses you may have experienced in your life, no matter how many times you may have fallen from him, no matter how many times you may have had to renew your vows or rededicate your life to him, he always comes back to you and says, "Follow me." We're glad tonight for such a Savior who is so gracious to us. May we love him who first loved us. Let us pray. Gracious Father, as we read tonight of our Lord Jesus Christ and his desire for our hearts, we pray tonight that every heart would be fully consecrated to him, that we would love the Lord Jesus more than anything. And though there are many things in this life that are worthy of our love, and many things and persons that we ought to love deeply, yet none more than Jesus. He is worthy of all our devotion, and he is worthy of our consecration. He is worthy of our total loyalty and allegiance, and we pray tonight that he would have it. And we pray that we would be willing then to be all that he wants us to be, and to do all he wants us to do, and go where he wants us to go, and say what he wants us to say. We ask then that you might cause every heart tonight to be totally consecrated to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're reminded again of the great debt of love we owe him. He who poured out his life's blood for us. He who sacrificed his life on our behalf. He who suffered the hell that we deserve to suffer. How right it is, how proper, that we should give him our total devotion. May it be so tonight. And when Jesus would say to us, "Do you love me?" may we be able to answer affirmatively, "Yes, Lord, I love you." May that be the response of every heart here tonight. We thank you too that you've set us in this world to serve the Lord Jesus indeed. And we can do that by speaking of him to others and by serving one another in love. So many things to be done. And yet prior to all our activity is our hearts and our love for Jesus. We pray that indeed we would have opportunities to speak of Christ and to tell others of him. And so we are reminded of those in our families tonight that are not saved, those in our workplaces and our neighborhoods who need to come savingly to Jesus. We pray for this village of Hicksville. And we pray for those we know and those we love who are without Christ. Move their hearts to him, we do pray, and use us in the process, we would ask. And we thank you for gathering us together. Whatever there may be of burdens tonight among our people, we pray that you will lift those burdens. Whatever there may be of doubts and discouragements and questions and perplexities, we pray that you might answer them all by your gracious working in our hearts, by your Spirit, even through your word. And so we thank you tonight for being here, for having drawn us together, and may it be nearer to Jesus that we come. And this we ask in his name. Amen. Changing the chronology one more time, moving backwards to the incarnation, last opportunity we'll have to sing these Christmas hymns this year. 150, first of all. All my heart this night rejoices. And then notice the last stanza. Dearest Lord, thee will I cherish. And that is the note of consecration of which we've been speaking. Hymn number 150. Thank you. by 161. We've heard it sung, but haven't sung it together as a congregation this Christmas season. 161, Silent Night. Of those who were there that night, the night of Christ's birth, his entrance into the world. We'll read from verse 8 through verse 20, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Let us pray for God to open up his word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we're thankful that you've gathered us together on this Lord's Day evening. And we always have a need of hearing your word and recognizing the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us from his word by his Spirit. We pray that we might recognize that voice tonight, that we might learn what he wants us to learn and be instructed, that we might know his will for us and do it. Most of all, that we might be drawn near to this one who loved us, having come to earth to save us, having died on the cross to put away our sins, having risen to save all who come to God through him. And may our praise be his tonight, and all our love and adoration and devotion. So bless us tonight as we look at your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again tonight, I would like to point out to you one word in this passage that is repeated three times, and a very important word it is. And it is the word told, the past tense of tell. And we find it first in verse 17, where it says, "When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." In verse 18, "All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And then verse 20, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them." And I want you to notice again that this word is used three times. And whenever a word is used three times in a passage of Scripture, it's there for us to take notice of it. Now, it's very interesting that in a passage that puts such emphasis on sight, there should also be such an emphasis on hearing. The shepherds saw the angels and the glory that was before them, and the shepherds saw the babe in the manger, and sight was a very, very big part of all that happened that night. As it is, those who were the first witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ told what they saw. They had seen him rise. They had seen, rather, him raised from the dead. And yet there's always an emphasis on the hearing, because we're told in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, if the shepherds had only seen angels and not heard a message from them, that sight would have had no meaning. If they had gone to Bethlehem, to that stable, and they looked at the babe in the manger, unless the angels had told them who he was, it would have meant nothing to them. Because as we said, Jesus did not have a glow about his head. There was nothing extraordinary about the sight of him that would make it known who he was. It was necessary for the shepherds to have been told by the angels. And that is significant, because that's the way we come to faith in Jesus Christ. We don't come to saving faith in Jesus by seeing a vision or by seeing writing in the sky, but by hearing the message that is written. And all of us are to be tellers of that message. So here we see this word told three times in this passage, and there are three different groups of people that had the message told to them. Of course, the shepherds first, but they told it to others. Look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherds heard a message from the angels. Over in Bethlehem is born to you this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So they went to Bethlehem as the angels had instructed them, and they saw him. But they didn't merely look at him in worship and adoration. They told everyone what they had heard. And the message of the angel was something that others heard from the shepherds. And so the second group of people who heard were those around the stable and those living in Bethlehem at the time. Because look at verse 18. All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. That's really the first group of people I want you to consider with me tonight. Those who heard the message from the shepherds. All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now the shepherds were doing the right thing. The shepherds were doing what you and I are to do always, and that is tell what we know, tell what we've heard, tell the truth as it has come to us. So here were these shepherds, the first evangelists. They were telling people about Jesus and the identity of that babe in the manger, because it was told to them. Now they're telling others. And look at the reaction of this first group of people, those around the stable and those in Bethlehem who had heard from the shepherds. This is what it says. They marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They marveled. Now think of this. Those who were there at the stable, aside from Joseph and Mary, who knew very well who the babe was, those in the vicinity of Bethlehem would not have known that that child was the Lord of glory, would not have known that he was the Savior who had been promised, the Messiah whom Old Testament prophets foretold, unless the shepherds made it known. And so the shepherds went around telling people who that baby was. And those who heard marveled. And that's what we call the first response then of those who hear the gospel. They marveled at it. And we today, like the people of Bethlehem, we hear the message as it was told us. We haven't seen the angels, but we've heard the message and we've believed. And indeed, we marvel at the great truth that God has become man, and that this babe in the manger was none other than the Savior, Christ the Lord. And we marvel at it. Now it's true that many of those who marveled perhaps didn't come to full saving faith in Jesus Christ. They marveled. It was something to truly be amazed at. That's as far as we can get with this group of people. They marveled. It was something wonderful. But so many who first marvel end up coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we pray about those in our families and our neighborhoods who have not yet come to saving faith in Jesus, that they would marvel at the message that this one who was born on the first Christmas was none other than Christ the Lord, the Savior of all who trust in Him. And it is a marvelous thing that God should become man, that the little baby in the manger was indeed Christ the Lord, and that He had come to save us from our sins. So there were those who marveled at what they heard. Then there was Mary. Look at Mary in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that phrase, all these things, most likely refers to what she had heard. Now she herself had listened to the angel Gabriel, who came to her at the first before she conceived. And the angel told her that she was going to conceive in her womb, though she was a virgin. And the one who would be born would be called the Son of the Highest, and He would be called Jesus. He would save His people from their sins. And she was told that, so she knew. But look at her response to the words of the shepherds and to all the events of that night. She kept these things, pondered them in her heart. Mary did what every believer is to do, what you and I are to do. We are to ponder these things. Not just hear it and be done with it. Not just an initial marveling and wonderment, but ponder those things. Every day we know, in our hearts should be the truth of who Jesus is and why He has come, and the miracle and the mystery of the incarnation, and the glory and the wonder and the love of Calvary. All should be pondered by us day by day. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This seems to tell us something about Mary and the kind of a woman that she was. She wasn't flighty. She wasn't a woman who was superficial in any sense of the word, but she was someone who could take to heart truth that was revealed to her and seek to know more and more of the depths of what had been revealed. Indeed, her conversation with Gabriel the angel reveals this to her. When the angel came to her and she says, well, how shall these things be? She wasn't asking in disbelief, but she really wanted to know. How could it be that she who was a virgin was going to give birth to the Son of the Highest? And the angel explained, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And then in the end, after the angel said, with God nothing will be impossible, Mary said to the angel, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And then the wonderful song that she sang, or the magnificent words that she uttered at the end, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And on she goes with her song of praise. She was a woman who thought and felt deeply. And you and I need to think and feel deeply the things of God, the things that have been told to us, the things that we've come to believe. Don't merely believe them superficially, but ponder these things in your hearts and think them through and plumb the depths as far as you can. These great truths, the incarnation, who Jesus is, what He came to do, ponder the depths of Calvary, how our Lord Jesus Christ could die for the sins of the world, and this one great event could lead to the salvation of millions who trust in Him. How glorious, how wonderful, how worthy of our contemplation. So Mary then keeps all these things and ponders them in her heart. May we be like Mary. And may we ponder and think and deeply, deeply ponder and think about these truths that have been made known to us. Well, then there are the shepherds once more in verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And notice again how the whole passage ends with that phrase, as it was told them. The emphasis, again, on the telling. They believed because of what was told them. Now, they were asked to believe something indeed magnificent and mysterious and almost unbelievable. They were told by the angel that they would find a baby in a manger, and that baby was none other than Christ the Lord. The baby, the divine Son of God. And it took faith to believe that. And they did. And don't think they believed just because an angel told them. As we mentioned on a previous occasion, there were those who heard angels and didn't believe what the angels told them. But the angels did. They believed that the baby was God in the flesh. They believed because they were told. But what now is their final response? Look what it says. First of all, the shepherds returned. And I want you to see that. The shepherds returned. They came to Bethlehem to see the babe who was born. They came to see the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord in the manger. But they had to return. They had to go back to the fields. They had to go back to work. They had to go back to the day-to-day drudgery and the mundane tasks of looking at the sheep. And that's the way it is for you and me, isn't it? We have those mundane tasks that we perform day by day, week by week. That's what life is. It's performing those mundane tasks, the responsibilities given to us. And yet, having seen Jesus and having heard who he is and having pondered the truth of his saving grace, life is never the same, is it? And the shepherds go back to their work, but they're not the same. They have a new hope. The Savior was born for them. They can be saved by him. Christ, the Messiah, has appeared. God has kept his word. How faithful is God? He is the Lord, to be obeyed and worshipped. And their life was changed. They're still shepherds, but they have a new joy, a new hope, a new perspective, a new outlook on life. And that's the way it is for you and me. We've seen Jesus, we've believed the truth about him, but we still have to go back to work, and we still have to do our mundane tasks. But we can do them with a hope born of the knowledge of the truth of who this babe was and what he had come to do for you and me. Think of what it would be like to go to your tasks tomorrow, to go back to work, for instance, or whatever responsibilities are yours, and do those mundane things that you do every day, and sometimes you get tired of doing them. What it would be like to do them without the knowledge that God has come to earth to redeem us, without the knowledge that there was hope for the future and there was eternal life given to us through this one who had come. What use would it be to get up in the morning and go to work and come home and be tired and eat and go to sleep and do it all over again the next day? It'd be pointless. But it's not pointless because Jesus has come. Jesus has given us eternal life. And God has shown his love to us in sending his Son to be our Savior. So the shepherds returned. How did they return? With glory and praise to God for all that they had seen and heard. The shepherds became praising men. And that's what you and I are to be. We marvel at what we heard. We ponder it in our hearts, but then we praise God for the truth. And you and I are to be praising men and women. There's always something to praise God for. God sent his Son into this world to be our Savior. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. There's hope, there's eternal life, there's forgiveness of sin. There is living together with Jesus forever. There's all of that. And those are reasons for praise. May we be like those shepherds then. Something was told them, It led them to faith in Jesus. It led them to praise, to glorify God for what was told them, because they came to know this Savior, as you and I have. Well, the angels told the shepherds told the people, and we have something to tell as well. May we be like these shepherds and tell what we've heard and bring others to faith in Jesus Christ, that they too may glorify and praise God for all that they have come to know to be true, even as they heard it from you and me. Well, let us pray. Gracious Father, how thankful we are tonight that we can know the truth that has been revealed to us. Your Holy Spirit makes them real to us and convinces us of their truth. And we thank you that this one who was born in Bethlehem is none other than our Savior today, who lives and reigns forever, and who died for our sins and rose again, and ever lives to make intercession for those who come unto God by him. We pray tonight to love him more and to serve him better. And we pray that you might grant that we'll be like the shepherds, telling others what we know. And may there be those indeed in our families and workplaces and neighborhoods who come to saving faith in Jesus because we've told them. We give you thanks as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close tonight, 685. Tell me the story of Jesus. 685. Thank you. never get tired of being told of Jesus. May we never tire telling others of him as well. I receive the Lord's benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide. Amen.